Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Because that's the only way peace can begin. Look around you, from the Middle East and San Bernardino to the mean streets of Chicago. You can't help but see that what we call civilization is falling apart around us. There's no time left for halfway measures. Dear friends, it's time for you and me to do something radical. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and our guest today is your host. In this season of giving, my gift to the master whose birthday we celebrate at the winter solstice also is my gift to you. I've learned a lot in the past year about the meaning and the message of Jesus, and I've learned it from Jesus himself. It's all set forth in my new book, Liberating Jesus. In the Gospels, Jesus tells us He came to us 2,000 years ago to teach us how to transform our minds. It's all in the Gospels. This is nothing new. And the Gospel teachings that he brought to us actually work. It's a miracle. And it's tragic that so few people, and frankly, so few Christians, are aware that the Master's Gospel teachings can literally transform the world. Speaking just for myself, I feel as if I was given, as a little child, I was given this beautifully wrapped gift. It's a beautiful gift, and I've loved it, and I've played with it, and I've treasured it, and it has been central to my life for my whole life, and I'm almost 70 years old now, and I still have that beautiful gift that I was given as a child. I still treasure it, but I've never opened it. Now, Jesus is telling us, you've enjoyed the gift. Please open it now and find out what it really, really is. It's the teachings of Jesus in the Gospels. We've ignored them. When I say this to people, they say, well, we haven't in our church ignored them. Well, no. People have understood that Jesus was saying, we should learn to love, we should learn to forgive, turn the other cheek. Jesus says things that we revere and we talk about in our churches. But when you go back and you read just the Gospels, when you open that gift, put aside the beautiful wrapping, and just read what he says in the Gospels, you find that he's not telling us to do our best to learn to love and forgive. He's telling us this is what our task is. It's not to be good enough, it's perfection. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. That's not really try to get a gentleman's C or a B or, you know, do your best. He doesn't say that anywhere that I can see in the Gospels. He says, be perfect. That's his instruction to us. So how do we do that? Well, here's how we begin. We begin by putting aside, just for now, the wrapping. Put aside Christianity. No one says you need to leave it. But just put aside the wrapping, and let's look now at the gift. We know what Jesus is saying is true, and we know it for a simple reason. It has nothing to do with religion. I've been studying the afterlife for all my life. We have nearly 200 years of communications from the dead, lots and hundreds of them, the best of which were received before 1950. And they are amazingly consistent in what they tell us. They tell us that we are here to learn to love perfectly, learn to forgive completely, and spiritual growth is the reason for our lives. They also tell us what God is, and that God is not just real, but basically the only thing that exists. They tell us things about reality we could never have learned any other way. Then we take all the things that the dead have taught us, all the things we've learned that support that from quantum physics and other aspects of science. We take it all, and we open our Gospels, and we read the red letters of any modern, it doesn't matter which, any modern translation of the Gospels. And what we find, to our amazement and joy, is that Jesus told us exactly the same things 2,000 years ago. But it gets even more amazing because Jesus spoke Aramaic. The Gospels had to be translated first into Greek. That was universally done. And then the Greek was translated into modern languages. I'm looking at English. So we have in English words, if we put them beside an English translation of the Gospels, they exactly, what the dead tell us is exactly what Jesus told us. Curiously, if we try to translate a modern Aramaic translation of directly passing Greek right to English, it's not as accurate. This is literally a new revelation from God. I don't think we can call it less than that. God, I never knew, understood, even as I was doing this work, I never understood why God was suddenly letting us know all this stuff about, everything, about why we're here and how we should be living our lives. So it was almost as if he was suddenly giving us a cheat sheet where we haven't known that the purpose of our lives was spiritual growth. We haven't really known that definitively. And to tell us that this is not real, that we're going back home soon and we just hope we'll have grown more, to tell us all that is like suddenly God isn't taking the game seriously anymore. I never understood why we were suddenly allowed to know this stuff. I think I now understand why. God wants us to understand that Jesus is real. His teachings are real. So God gives us the validation in these afterlife, communications, which show it's impossible for Jesus not to be real and for all of these afterlife communications to be so consistent if this is not a new revelation. It is boggling to me the more I think about it. And I think as you think about it too, you'll come to understand that the odds against chance for this are beyond calculation. Of course it's real. And of course it's a new revelation. It's what Jesus tells us is literally true. So we open our Gospels with fresh enthusiasm and we say, okay, Jesus, we're ready now finally to listen. We've opened the gift, papers all over the living room floor, which is the way it is at Christmas time, and we've opened our gift and now we're ready to listen. We're ready to learn. Well, what Jesus teaches us in the Gospels is that we are here to learn to grow spiritually, and he says it's essential. There are several parables that are actually, they sound kind of cruel and awful if we don't understand what he's saying. He says I don't have a Bible in front of me. This is all from memory. To he who has, more will be given, and he'll have an abundance. To him who does not have, even what little he has will be taken away, and throw that worthless servant into the darkness where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Wow, that's pretty cruel for Jesus to have said something like that. And it's not fair. But it is fair because what Jesus is telling us there is just what amounts to a law of physics in a reality entirely governed by consciousness. We are here, we exist to make spiritual growth. That's the whole purpose of our eternal lives. And if we keep doing it, we'll get more and more of it. It'll become easier and easier to learn and grow spiritually. If we slight it, then even what bit of spiritual growth we may have gained is going to go away. We can't. You don't stay in place spiritually. Either you're advancing or you start to fall back. That's what he's saying there. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with anything material. It has everything to do with what was the only thing that mattered to him and still does, and that's our spiritual growth. So you see that, and then you look again at the rest of the words in the Gospels, and you start to take them a whole lot more seriously. So we're going to do that a little bit in the first part of this podcast, and then in the next part, I'm going to tell you what is the core teaching, and I'm going to show you how to do it. And that's my gift to Jesus, and that's my gift to you. Okay, let's look at these Gospels that are our new gift in our hands, all the wrappings around us. The first thing we notice is that there are some things that Jesus is quoted as saying in the Gospels that really don't fit the rest of the Gospels, and they don't fit the afterlife evidence. They typically talk about things like churches and Trinity, and they're scary stuff. You know, these people are elect, these people are not elect. All of that was added by later councils. It's an anachronism. Jesus wouldn't have talked about a church. He was just teaching. And there is very strong evidence that what he came to do was do away with religions. He certainly didn't want to start a new one. I don't think anyone who just reads the Gospels can believe it was his intention to basically just start another religion. He would have tried to fix the old one. He says you can't put new wine into old wineskins. Don't try to just take my teachings and stick them into the religion and do what you can with that. He says not to do it. We ignored him. It's okay. It was a beautiful package, and we still could have it. It's just that we need to have the teachings too. So as we read them, the Gospels, the first thing we need to do is to throw away the parts of the Gospels that are not consistent with what the Lord tells us in the rest of the Gospels, things he really didn't say. And you can pretty easily spot these things if you just give it a moment's thought. In the first appendix, The Liberating Jesus, I show you how to spot the parts that you really need to get rid of. Okay, am I telling you that you need to edit the Gospels? No, what I'm telling you is that you can't understand what Jesus came to teach unless you read what Jesus came to teach, getting rid of the things that were added later. I think that's essential, because otherwise you're going to misunderstand him. And the whole point of this, after all, is trying to come to better understand and love the Lord. So we have our Gospels open, and we've gotten rid of the things that we think he didn't say. When in doubt, throw it out. Don't hold some things that seem gray, because they're probably not gray. The core teaching is simply this. You're here to learn and grow spiritually. Anything that's in the way of that, you get rid of. Seek first the kingdom of God. Everything else will be added to you. What is the kingdom of God anyway? What is he asking us to seek? It's pretty clear that he talked about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and it's pretty clear from the way he's talking what he means. When he says kingdom of heaven, if you don't do this or that, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven, does he mean you're going to go to hell? No, there is no hell. But there is an outer darkness, and it's pretty nasty. However, that's not what he's saying. There is a very high level of the afterlife, probably the high fifth and sixth level. That is the kingdom of heaven. The regular heaven below it is where most of us still are, trying to learn and grow spiritually. But once we have partially perfected ourselves, gotten pretty close to perfecting ourselves, then we are eligible to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's our goal. You and I, as we go about our day, we are trying to learn enough and grow enough that we can enter the kingdom of heaven. And what a glory that will be. What about the kingdom of God? What does he mean by that? Well, that's level 7. Level 7 is what we call the celestial level. It's the source level. It's the center of the Godhead, although, of course, God doesn't have a center. These are just human words. But eventually, that's our goal. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They will get to the 7th level. But if you're not perfect, you'll never, ever get there. You might get close to the kingdom of heaven, but not to the kingdom of God. I know you think I'm dwelling on something that doesn't seem important, but this is really crucial to our understanding of why we're on earth. We are on earth only to grow spiritually. Nothing else that happens here is of any import or matter. If we're growing spiritually, we're acing this lifetime. If we're not growing spiritually, we are doing what the Buddhists call turning on the wheel. Over and over, we'll make life plans, we'll come back, we'll try to learn and grow from our life plans, and we'll make no progress. The Gospels are all about escaping that, getting beyond the need to keep incarnating. And yes, Jesus did teach reincarnation, and yes, you can still see that in the Gospels, but the Council of Nicaea, I think it was 325, one of the things they did was to edit out everything they could find about reincarnation in the Gospels. Yes, they edited the Gospels. Oh, did they ever. And they did it so that we would not think we could keep coming back, but we would try our very best the first time. Think about that. If you ever doubted that the Council did harm, I don't think you can need to go farther than that. They were presumptuous enough to decide to edit the words of Jesus. After that, it's very hard for me to really appreciate anything else they may have done. So, okay, we understand we're here to learn to grow spiritually, and it's not enough to try. We are here to succeed. And what does that consist of? Well, at our level, which I think is probably a pretty low level spiritually, it consists of learning to love and learning to forgive. All I can do is tell you my own experience and my observations of others, but I think loving comes naturally to people. I mean, we want to love, we want to be loved. It's like a natural tendency, a natural ability we all have, and it's not that hard. The problem is that the people we're loving tend to be people we choose to love. A Course in Miracles, which I recommend, by the way, I'll talk more about it in the second segment. A Course in Miracles talks about special loves and special hates. We all have those. We really love our families, but that guy at work, not so much. And that's a problem because our love is meant to be universal. We're meant to love everyone. So we have a good start on loving just by being alive because it's such a natural tendency. But there's something in the way of our learning to love as Jesus wants us to love. And we'll talk about that. Because clearing that out, freeing us to love as Jesus wants us to love, is a key part of growing spiritually. In 2010, in the summer of 2010, The Fun of Dying came out. It contains an appendix that includes a lot of what I learned in comparing the afterlife evidence with the teachings of Jesus. And it came out, and as I was beginning to talk about it, I spoke before a lot of Unity churches and in bookstores. People would ask me, well, does it work? What a good question. Jesus tells us all this stuff, but does it work? What does it do? And I had to say, you know, I think I should probably be our guinea pig. I'll try to figure out if it does work. So I think it was March of 2011, so coming up on 5 years, I said, okay, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to internalize the Gospels, and I'm going to try to live them. I did it for 5 years. Many people I hear from, and I bless you, I love hearing from people who listen to these podcasts. One of the things they will say to me is, you're such a nice person, I love listening to you, but let me tell you, you would not have liked me before 2011 or maybe 2012. I was not nice back then. I have been living the Gospels for 5 years as best I humanly could, and they have transformed my life forever. These changes that they make in us are permanent. This is not something we try. This is something we do. We live. I'm going to, in the next segment, start you on the process of living the Gospels with me. That's the greatest gift I can give to the Lord, and it's the greatest gift I can give to you. And it's not as hard as you'd think. I thought when I started the process, this was going to be really tough. I developed some techniques for learning to spread my love for my family and others to the world, and those work, and I'll talk about them another time. In 2017, the third book in the Fun trilogy is going to come out, and I'll talk about love there and what the tricks are. But there is something really big in the way of our learning to love as we need to love. And that is the fact that forgiveness does not come naturally to us. Forgiveness is hard to learn. And in fact, if you don't learn to do it correctly, you'll exhaust yourself trying to do it. I'm going to teach you a technique in a few minutes that I thought I had originated, but I must have read it somewhere because it actually has a name. I never knew that. And it works like a charm, and it's not even hard. And it is the single most important thing that I've ever done in my life to transform my life. Let me first, though, put in a quick plug for A Course in Miracles. If you've not heard of it, A Course in Miracles was dictated by a group led by Jesus in the 1960s to a woman, I think her name is Shuckman, Helen Shuckman, I think that is her name. She took shorthand, and she, a voice in her head started to say, "This is A Course in Miracles, please take notes." And she did for 7 years. This was a labor of, I guess, love, but she didn't really love doing it, or so I understand. But in the end, what she had produced was extraordinary. A Course in Miracles is over most of our heads. The miracle is forgiveness, by the way. And to get there, the Course takes you through the whole process of undoing your ego, which I really recommend that you do. You can't get rid of your ego. That would not even be healthy. But you can make it so that your ego no longer runs your life. And freeing yourself from the burden of that frees yourself from fear like you cannot imagine, because the ego is based in fear. So I did the Course in the mid-aughts. I did it for just over a year. I got through the part about freeing myself from the dictates of my ego, which was a very painful process, but it never came back the same way it had. And I began to learn to forgive, but I just didn't have time to keep doing the Course at that point. If you're serious about spiritual growth, most Unity churches, you don't have to belong to the church, have Course in Miracles classes, and there are other places too, I'm sure, where you can find one. What you need to do is to try very hard to make yourself available at some point to learning the Course. When you do that, you're going to find that everything is much easier. So, in essence, when I started in 2011 to really try to follow the Gospels, I had that in my background. I don't think it was essential, but I think it was really helpful. So I'm going to, in a moment, begin to talk to you about the most important thing you can be doing in the next year, I think, and I think you'll begin to think so as well, because your life will be transformed. Meanwhile, let me just say, this is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and Flying High in Spirit. And you can find my blog at robertagrimes.com. The first thing I learned when I began to try to understand how to do forgiveness is, when you examine it closely, there turn out to be two kinds of forgiveness. The first kind I call bespoke forgiveness, and this is like a bespoke suit, right, tailored to you. This is what most of us do. In fact, I certainly was doing this. Every time something gets on your nerves, aggravates you, upsets you, just annoys you, you look at it, you get irritated, and then you think, I've got to forgive that, or forgive him, or forgive whatever, and you work on it, and you do. Or sometimes you don't. I mean, some things are not forgivable. People tell that to me all the time, that they're wrong about that. Everything is forgivable because nothing that happens here is ultimately real. The murder of your loved one is not real. That person is fine. Everything that happens here is part of a strange play in which we are participating so we can use the bad things that happen. As the machines in the gym will strengthen our physical muscles, we're using those bad things to strengthen our spiritual muscles. That's why we came here. But ultimately, all the people that you think have been harmed have not been harmed. All the things that you can't forgive turn out to be forgivable. I'm sorry that maybe that strikes you as wrong right now, but please stick with me on this. So what we have is this bespoke kind of, each time something bad happens, we've got to pause and forgive it, kind of thing. And we do that. But I soon realized, way back in 2011, that I was making myself crazy because I had to forgive everything, the guy who cut me off in traffic, somebody who said annoying things to me on the phone when I was just trying to be helpful. I mean, all kinds of things I had to forgive every day. My husband, oh my Lord, everybody. And I couldn't do it anymore. So it occurred to me that the problem was me. It wasn't those other people. If I could change the way I was reacting to the things they did, then maybe I would be able to forgive them without having to do it every time. I don't know why this made sense to me, but it did. So I began to do what I soon was thinking of as radical forgiveness. Every situation that bothered me at all, I would wrap it all up, including the people. I would physically do it with my hands, make a nice, neat ball, and I would push it away. And at the same time, I would say in my mind, or aloud if I could, if no one else was around, I forgive and I release. If there were any people involved in my bundle, I would say, I love you and I bless you. I forgive and I release. I love you and I bless you. I forgive and I release. And as I was saying those things, I would push it away with my hands. Now, in the beginning, many things came right back again. And I had to wrap them up again and go through the process of physically wrapping things up. Don't just try to do it in your mind. I would wrap them up and I would push them away. I can't recall now that I had to do this more than twice with anything. But what was amazing is that I wish I had been keeping a diary. I wasn't. But I don't recall that it took more than a month or two before I wasn't having to do this very much anymore. Things weren't bothering me the same way. I'm trying now to think of the last time I ever had to do this, and it was years ago. What I found was that when you do this radical forgiveness exercise, it changes the way you see the things around you that happened to you or that happened to people you love. You no longer feel resentment. Not at all. I mean, just today, a friend of mine has been trying to make me crazy by email, and I have to say, much as he was making me crazy, I just loved him. It was fine. It's as if you have a lever that people can play with, and he used to be able to play with this lever and really upset me. Can't do it now. Each time he sent me whatever he was trying to send me to make me crazy, I would just email back, I love you, and I release you, and have a wonderful day. That would be it. We're still friends. You have all kinds of friends in your life, too, I'm sure. But this is what happens when you practice radical forgiveness and do it every time. Do it for little things. Do it for the guy who cuts you off in traffic. Do it for the fact that it's cloudy for a third day in a row. Everything that gets on your nerves. Practice radical forgiveness. Wrap it up. I love you, I bless you if it's a person. Otherwise, it's just I forgive and I release and push it away. What seems to happen is that your mind, being efficient, realizes that it's not going to be able to work those levers on you anymore and upset you, and your mind stops reacting. I'm still noticing that things happen, and I know that a few years ago, if they had happened, I'd have been over the moon. I'd have been just so angry. Believe me, I used to be able to yell. I had a temper at one point, but not anymore. Nothing is bothering me now. It transforms you on the inside. It makes you soft and loving on the inside when you no longer are reacting to negative things on the outside. I mean, there are other things you can do, too. I think that driving is a great forgiveness opportunity. I almost, as I sometimes say when I'm giving talks, God invented cars as the best way for us to learn how to forgive. And that's what happens, and we do learn to forgive, and it's extraordinary. I'm going to be talking a lot more about that on another podcast and in The Fun of Growing Forever. But try this. Decide first that this is the year when you are going to no longer let people have power over your mind. You are going to learn radical forgiveness. It's going to become central to your life. It won't take a year. if you do it seriously, it'll only take a few weeks or maybe a couple of months. And I, as I say, after I don't remember that I had to keep doing this after that short period of time. So give yourself that gift. It's hard for me to describe to you how I feel 5 years after I started learning radical forgiveness. I feel much more at peace internally, much more fearless, because frankly, nothing can get to me. More powerful, more loving, kinder, wiser. I feel like a totally transformed human being. That's what radical forgiveness will do for you. Once you really internalize it, once you get it, there's no way you can go back to who you were before, partly because you don't want to. I mean, my life is so much happier now that I know nothing ever bugs me. I don't let it get to me. I mean, forgive the politics that's going on. Forgive global warming. Forgive everything that bothers you. Wrap it up. I forgive and I release and let it go. Where the big things are concerned, the you know, whoever is going to be president and global warming and all of those things, there are things you can do to help the situation, but you can't fix it by yourself. So to let yourself get upset about these things is just going to make you crazy. It doesn't help you to make yourself emotional about things you cannot change. Instead, forgive it, release it, and give yourself the power to address these things from your own new perspective of calm, forgiveness, understanding, and love. What this does, perhaps more than anything else, is to really help you learn to love. You're meant to love everybody, because everybody is part of God. Everybody is. I don't care who it is. No matter how misguided they seem to you, no matter how evil they may seem to you, they are all alike. Their minds, just like yours, are part of God. We are one being. When you have forgiven everything in advance, which is what you're really doing when you learn radical forgiveness, you basically issue a blanket forgiveness to the world. You already have forgiven it. So whatever happens no longer really bugs you. It's already forgiven. You hardly even notice it anymore. Often I don't notice things that before would have upset my day. But what you're doing when you do that is clearing your mind of the special loves and special hates, and you're spreading the love you have for your family to the whole human family. Only radical forgiveness will empower you to be able to do that honestly. Forgiveness comes first. Once you do learn radical forgiveness, you will look at people and you will see in them, in each of them, God. God will shine out of their faces. I mean this. People you thought you couldn't stand, you will see them as part of God. And when you do that, loving is easy. It's what you want to do. So the most important gift you can give to yourself and to the Lord is to teach yourself to forgive all before anything ever even happens. And the way that you do it is by learning radical forgiveness. So that's my gift to you. My gift to the Lord is that if you start to try this and you need my help, I'm here. Let me know. Send me an email through my website. I'll help you learn it. I'm not saying it's easy, but it really, in my experience, it's not that hard. You just have to be serious about it. It may help you if you're reading the Gospels, the parts that Jesus actually said, and I urge you to make a practice of doing that until you start to internalize the words. But above all, never again, if you're ready to do this, and I can't know whether you're ready, but only you do know if you're ready, but if you're ready to take these teachings as seriously as Jesus means them to be taken, never again let something get to you. If something starts to, wrap it up, nice tight ball, push it away, saying, I forgive and I release. If it's a person, I love you and I bless you. Always love and bless people. And obviously the reason is because they're part of God. Every person is an infinitely precious part of God. Part of what you're doing, of course, is beginning to make an example for the world. All right, let's talk about the world for a moment. I began this by saying peace has to begin with me. It has to begin with each of us who is willing to do this. Once you have learned radical forgiveness, you will be peaceful inside. When enough people have learned radical forgiveness and the love that comes with it, because loving humankind is a natural part once you have come to learn radical forgiveness, once enough people are there, the world will change. Many people say to me, yeah, but I, you know, what about ISIS? Well, don't worry about ISIS. The reason we have a problem with ISIS is that we're not doing our job, the job Jesus gave us. And that job is to learn to perfectly love and forgive. They've done experiments, and I don't have them in front of me, but there are experiments that have been done with just how many people need to espouse a new idea before that idea takes over, and it's very few. I think it's like 10%. If 10% even of the Christians in the world would begin to take Jesus and his teachings as seriously as he means us to take them, not, well, I'll try to love, but, you know, I'll try to forgive, but it's, what can you do? I'm only human. No, radical forgiveness, perfect love. Jesus says, be thou perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. If even 10% of the Christians will start taking that as seriously as Jesus means it to be taken, the whole world will change. You'll have no more wars. You'll have no more of anything except peace on earth. At least you yourself will be a lot happier. I think if that's all it takes to get you started, you know, you can just try for your own happiness now. Just be aware that in making yourself happy by learning universal love and forgiveness, you will be beginning to change the world. All right, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. As you know, you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you fully grasp all the implications of that, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. If you'd like to learn more of the amazing things we're learning about our one reality, past episodes of Seek Reality are available for free on iTunes. Just search there for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. And as you know, of course, my books are Liberating Jesus, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and Flying High in Spirit. You'll find details about my books at robertagrimes.com. You should know, too, that Liberating Jesus and Flying High in Spirit are available through bookstores everywhere. They'll soon be available all over the world. So the next time you're in, you know, Barnes & Noble, Target, Costco, wherever, you might think about asking them for the book. People aren't finding them because apparently as soon as they're put on shelves, they get bought. So they'll order more if you go in and just ask them to order more. Our guest next week is going to be Paul Coleman. This is someone I have met several times, and he's just a lovely, peaceful man. His books have a great title, How to Find Peace When Your Heart is in Pieces. I hear daily from people whose lives have been upended by grief, by loss, by tragic wrong directions taken by loved ones, especially people's children. So many hearts are in pieces now. And Paul's book is a beautiful way for us to begin to make ourselves whole again. So please listen in next week. I think you're going to love this man. This week we've been talking about the core teachings of Jesus on forgiveness. Happy birthday, Lord. My gift to you is a renewed commitment to ever more perfectly living the Gospels. And I pledge to you, Jesus, that I will try to help everyone who hears these words to make and to keep that same promise. My dear friends, the only way for us to achieve universal peace is to first find it in ourselves. As Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. And the teachings of Jesus are not hard to follow. I think they're probably the easiest spiritual teachings for any of us to follow. And they work better than I ever imagined they would. So let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. But for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.